failed. And the result is all the people who have died since then.
One, in this, people can judge for themselves. Read Juan Gonzalez's book, Fallout, The Environmental Consequences of the World Trade Center Collapse. I also want to thank our guests, Bob Henley, Sarah Nelson, as well as Lila Nordstrom from Stuyvesant High School, and Marianne Pizzatola. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez.
This land we love belongs to all of us. Yet not everyone is treated equally. Right now, millions of Americans are fighting for the things promised to all by the Constitution. Freedom, justice, equality. The ACLU is leading the fight to protect our civil liberties. Together, we can protect and advance our rights nationwide, because we the people means all of us.
This land was made for you and me.
Learn how the ACLU is defending the right to vote, free speech, and other civil liberties at myaclu.org.
And you're listening to radio station WUSB in Stony Brook, broadcasting at 90.1 FM, 107.3 FM, and over the internet at WUSB.FM. The time is 6 o'clock on a Tuesday evening. Time, once again, for another edition of Off the Wall. And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. I'm Manuel Goldstein with you, joined tonight by Kyle.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm good, but the world is not good. The world is kind of screwed up at the moment.
Well, I was out in the garage. I was trying to, like, clean some things up
because
I just feel like this is the perfect weather for it because it's not, like, sweltering and humid. So I'm trying to get a couple extra things in, you know, make things a little easier, get my winter projects underway, that kind of thing.
Think you could head overseas and maybe try to fix things over there?
I really
they,
don't.
They need your help.
I tried. I tried like 10 years ago. I don't really think I have the answers. Uh-huh. I'm just trying to sort out my area and get back to things that I might have a little bit more time for right now. I don't know. But I understand. I empathize. I've heard some of the things. Some of the things I don't believe. I just don't believe my ears. Like, is that really? It's surreal. I get it. It's overwhelming. I think I also get super disappointed because, like, people are doing exactly what I'm doing, like distracting themselves and taking a little light mental vacation. I get the allure of that. But I think really we just should be provisioning for a general strike.
Well, okay, you're getting way ahead of the conversation here.
Oh, and that's my fault.
Well, yeah, I'm overseas, and you're over here now. Let's be in the same place, because, yeah, it all relates. It definitely relates.
I can get my headphones on.
Yeah, get your headphones on so you can hear me, because otherwise I don't think...
what are we doing? Radio? Is this radio?
This is it. We take it seriously.
This isn't a pod thing, right? This is a run... airwaves.
So, Germany, you're going fascist. Okay, well, we can help you on that road because we've been on it for a little while. There are some things you need to know, some things you need to avoid. And right now, I don't know where to begin because there are several hot spots in Europe right now. And it seems to be getting worse. And I don't often say this, but I have more faith in how we do things over here right now because, we have vile, awful people running things, but we never stop critiquing them and criticizing them and mocking them and believing that one day we will defeat them and drive them out of power and hopefully into hell. I don't really see the same thing in other places. Not as much. Not right now. I see lots and lots of people, mass rallies of people. I see huge leads for right-wing fascist groups. I see things that really are disturbing and don't seem to have any regard for history and the lessons that we supposedly have learned. If you don't know what I'm talking about, there was a bit of a, I don't want to call it a shocking election in Germany because everybody knew it was coming. But the far-right political party known as AfD won a landslide in an eastern state of Germany. That might not sound like much. Might sound like, oh, it's just an eastern state, you know. They were kind of fascist anyway, and they were, not like the West. But let me tell you something. AfD is leading nationwide. And just like the right-wing leads here with simplistic messages and outright lies, they're using the same tactics. They're learning from what has succeeded over here, except it seems to be working a lot more dramatically over there because what we could have in power in Germany in, there's another election in another part of Germany on the 20th of September. There's also an election in Berlin. Now, that's going to be interesting. But this could spread to the nation, and we could see the entire country. The entire country of Germany run by the far right, not conservatives. Conservatives are running it now, and they're not popular. The right wing, the far right, we're talking fascists, we're talking Nazis, because these are people that are echoing the same things that Nazis said 100 years ago, the same things. Basically segregate people and punish people for who they are. We can get into the particulars. But it's extremely disturbing, and it's something that I don't think we're paying enough attention to over here. Of course, it's being cheered by people like Elon Musk and Donald Trump, because this is what they want. It's an extension of what they're doing.
Oh, you mean the globalists?
Yeah.
The global elites? Yes, the global elites. Global fascist elites controlling the world.
Well... the German Chancellor, Friedrich Merz, doubled down yesterday on pushing through unpopular reforms to Europe's largest economy after the far-right party surged to a landslide victory in a regional election with a very good chance of forming the first far-right state government since the Nazi era. Let that settle. Now, Merz said his center-right Christian Democratic Union, that's the conservative party, they were deeply shocked by what he called the most serious election defeat that the CDU has had for years, for decades. But he indicated that he's determined to stay at the helm and said that giving up is not an option for me. Strong words, but can he back it up? The anti-migration, Russia-friendly alternative for Germany, that's what AfD stands for, they fell just short of a majority in Sunday's vote in a small eastern state known as Saxony-Anhalt. They basically are three seats short of actually being able to govern out there. Now, Merz said he wanted to assure Germany's allies that our institutions are resilient and stable, and the country will stick to its values and constitution after the AfD win. We know that Germany carries special responsibility because of its history. Now, that's something, that statement right there is something that AfD deeply object to, the history. They don't want to talk about that. They don't want to talk about the Nazi era in schools. They don't want to teach it to the kids. They want Germany to be for Germans again. Does any of this scare you? Because it should. It really should. These are people that want to erase the unpleasant part of history. Kind of what Trump is doing with slavery, with segregation, all that. Oh, and speaking of segregation, yeah, they're big fans of that. They want anybody who is the child of an immigrant to be segregated and put in a different school. Yeah. These are people who are citizens of Germany, but they don't want them to be treated the same way. They want them to be segregated because they're not German enough.
It's not pure blood.
No, it's not pure blood. This sounds so familiar. Where have we heard this before?
It's really hard to talk about it in detached modern terms because so much of it actually resembles the historic shame that many in Germany were taught but don't seem to have learned from. And it's a really bad time because a lot of the disaffected workers, what are they having, huge layoffs and stuff, and there's all kinds of confluence that this is going to capture. Go on. It's just uncanny. How do we talk about it without those terms, outside of those terms, and not draw comparisons? It really, they're all but set to make it in time for 2039, right? I mean, how they're in a full sprint for the 100th anniversary what they were sworn against doing after the Second World War.
I mean, but it never 100 years, that's a long time.
The thing we have to remind ourselves is it never goes away. It never went away.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. Like, same thing with, like, the outrage over anti-Semitism. It's not a new thing. It wasn't like there's this big uptick. Yeah, maybe trends year to year, but like it was always there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just out in the open now.
Mm-hmm.
It's full throated. People are just saying it wherever and acting on it. And I really am. I can't be like, oh, there's this new thing. No, it was always there. Mm-hmm. We told ourselves that we taught it in schools, and we have better Germans now. We don't allow people to demonstrate and represent that ideology. Oh, until they get voted into office.
Well, it's called the firewall in Germany. Far right movements, they've come under very strong scrutiny. By not cooperating with AfD, that is what the firewall is. Other political parties will not form a coalition with them. And that's, we've seen that in other European countries as well. You guys are too far to the right. You're too crazy. The problem now is that more and more people are signing on to this, and it's becoming more and more difficult to maintain that firewall. And there's, believe it or not, a leftist party, that is kind of agreeing with them. They're anti-migrant, they're pro-Russia, and they just might form a coalition with these idiots. And
remind me, this is the same Germany that if I go to, as an American, I have to mind my P's and Q's about what I say, and I have to watch my speech there because I don't have the same protections, and they do have law. I mean, do they still have laws against that, talking about Nazism?
You're talking about. Well, there's no law against talking about Nazism.
Well, what is the norm there?
I'm not an expert, but I do know that there are certain things you can't. I don't think you can display swastikas in public. Okay, that's one of the freedoms we have here in this country, which I don't.
And
really,
here it can be like a hood ornament on your car.
It can be all sorts of things, but they do have certain things that, because of their history, they do not allow.
So you understand
it's different.
You understand my sense of incongruence, right? It's not. It doesn't seem to make sense that it's now.
Well, things are changing. This is the whole point. Things are changing. Fascists are marching into power, and you may very well see that law cast aside, where you may freely display your swastika now. Nobody's really saying that, but it's not something we should be surprised by. If it were to happen. Merz can say that the institutions are resilient and stable and all that, and that he's not going to give up. But, that's going to get harder and harder if they don't get their act together. The problem is, there's a governing coalition right now. The CDU and the center-left Social Democrats, and they've developed this reputation for squabbling, and just they've become really, really unpopular. As he has himself, the government has struggled to persuade voters it can get the country's sluggish economy moving, but the only way to do that is through painful reforms, including to the pension system. People don't like that. Never mind the fact that anyone in power is going to face the same problem. So it's not something that they made up. Again, as I said, Germany is facing two regional elections, September 20th, one in Berlin, one in another eastern state called Mecklenburg. Western Pomerania, and AfD is quite strong there. Now, AfD, as I mentioned, is three seats short of a majority. It could reach out to the hard left BSW party. That's the one I was referring to. They won five seats. Now, they both share a Russia-friendly course. They both oppose immigration. Kind of wonder, why is one far right and one far left? Why do they agree on these things? They disagree on some other issues, I'm told. I don't know what they are. But BSW has criticized the aforementioned firewall against AfD and signaled yesterday that they could basically abstain in a potential third round of voting for a new governor, which would allow their candidate to get into power. It's also possible newly elected lawmakers from other parties could defect to AfD, which would only need three to break ranks. Forming a government excluding AfD would only be possible if all the other parties in the legislature work together, but an alliance of any kind between those parties is improbable and would be prone to instability. Now, Musk is very happy about this, congratulated the party, saying, well done. He's endorsed them before. Trump posted a screenshot of the election projection on his Truth Social platform without any comment. Russian presidential envoy Kirill Dmitriev on Twitter described the outcome of the election as an historic win for the pragmatic AfD that will put migration under control. Dmitriev also said AfD will restore Germany and Europe by leading the common sense approach that migrant-friendly, warmongering, Biden-think EU politicians tried to eradicate. It's almost like being insulted by North Korea. The leaders of right-wing populist parties in Spain and Portugal also congratulated AfD. The Polish prime minister was critical. In Poland, only idiots or traitors could rejoice the AfD triumph in Germany, Donald Tusk wrote on Twitter. I like him. French foreign minister Jean-Noël Barrot, whose country faces a presidential election next year, in which the far right is a leading contender, said that AfD's platform is a betrayal of the European spirit and that our first responsibility is to resist the normalization of far-right ideas. Among voters who didn't back AfD, the reaction was one of deep dismay. Horst Walter Berner, an 86-year-old from Magdeburg. Hey, we were there. Born during World War II, expressed shock. It's terrible for us, he said, saying the election was fear-driven. He said AFD's victory was foreseeable because of the crowds it drew during the campaign, but he said this never should have happened. Oh, but it did. It did. And it's a different world. It's a different world. Now, what do they do? What do people in Germany do? Today I saw there were mass rallies. That's great. That's great to get out there to show your anger, but you got to do more than just mass rallies, as we well know here. I just got on my phone today another one of those notifications. Let me see if I can call it up. From the Indivisibles. You remember these guys? These are the people that organized the No Kings rallies that we've been to a few times.
Yeah, it's not a bad organization, no. And they are organizing.
Yeah.
But...
okay, how much do I have to pay you to never make that sound again? Okay, so they're ready to take the next step on October 17th. The No Kings movement has made history with the three largest protests in U.S. history. Now it's time to take the next step. I agree. With our democracy at stake... We're showing up again on October 17th to promote unprecedented voter participation in the midterms. While the regime is actively threatening to sabotage the election and undermine our freedom to vote, we know the best way to protect our rights is to exercise them. And that's why we're organizing thousands of local events across the country to ensure every eligible voter has a plan to vote early, knows their options for how to vote, and is ready to help defend the results. So what you can do is find an event near you at indvs.org, chip in if you can. And this looks like the exact same thing they did before, with the difference being that this is a little closer to an election. Okay, I see there's an event scheduled for Port Jefferson Station in that usual place by Route 112 and 347. It's set for October 17th from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Come on, guys. That's not going to do it. 2 hours every few months? You think that is how you make change? There has to be so much more than that. Look at where governments have been toppled, where real change has happened. It's not by just penciling in a little bit of time every now and then. It's by sacrificing. It's by getting in the faces of the people you oppose. It's by shutting it all down, maybe burning it all down. At some point, your anger has to be your guiding force. What are you going to wait for? I mean, look at what's happening in Germany. Look at what's happening here. They may very well take away your right to vote or just make it so extremely difficult that you won't even bother. I mean, this is really disappointing. I want more. I want more than this. How do we achieve that? You know, there should be 100,000 people in the streets of D.C. shutting it all down, getting in the way of whatever they send to oppose us. Yeah, it's going to be unpleasant, as the people of Minnesota know. But you will not get changed just by having these little feel-good rallies every now and then. You have to do more. You have to be a major pain in the ass. You have to shut things down. You have to break things. You have to be on the news all the time. This is what works in Russia. This is what works in China. This is what works in all different places. No, they didn't win, but they definitely are a force to be reckoned with. I don't feel like we are. I don't feel like we're much of a force to be reckoned with. I feel like we're people just trying to get by. You know, we have these two-hour rallies every now and then on weekends because we can't afford to miss a day of work. And that, you know, it tells me that it's not high on the priority list. We need to be walking out of schools. We need to be shutting down our businesses and tanking the economy if we have to, you know, because it's not working. And if it's not working at all, what's the point of trying to make it work? It's never going to be working for us. We have to drive them out of power. We have to basically change the narrative. I don't see people doing that. I see people trying to be respectful and trying to be patient, but at some point, you have to reach the end of that. When is it going to happen? What is it going to take? You know, they're shooting people in the streets. They're kidnapping families. They're doing all kinds of terroristic things. They're making us believe false narratives, changing history, tearing down monuments, destroying our land with pollution and with all kinds of backroom deals. This president has stolen more money than all presidents combined. And that is a mighty achievement. He gets away with it all. And are we ever going to reach the point where someone says, no, enough? Yeah, the Supreme Court occasionally says no. He does it anyway. He finds a way to do it anyway. Nobody stops him, you know? And he basically says things that are so incredibly illegal. Yeah, I'm going to put my face on money. Yeah, I'm going to basically build an arch in the middle of D.C. without any permission. And people say, yeah, we'll see you in court. Well, no, we should see you at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue at the front door as we kick it in and drive your ass out of power. That is how you do it. That's how it's done in any other country that cares about democracy. And that is what's worked in the past. 1776, tell you what, they weren't having their little rallies every couple of weekends, you know. They were in the streets. They were loud, they were obnoxious, they were effective. Just something to think about.
Yeah, I think that those are the things I think we're missing, the creativity. And I think of, like, you know, we have an abundance of commodities. We have a lot of stuff. And I really want to see some of the stuff, some of the aspects of material society directed at this. Like, you know, how they fence in protesters? Why don't we rent fences? Let's just fence in.
Fence in Congress. I'd like
fencing
that.
Them. Fence mm-hmm. the fencers, right? Or, like, you know, the lights they put for construction?
Uh-huh.
Like, why aren't we shining light into the White House 24/7? You know, like, there's just so many creative things people could be doing with stuff.
Yeah, technology.
With all of the material, like, just renting things. Rent things that are obnoxious, that get in the way. Close streets. Like, make your own road closures.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm sorry, this is our neighborhood, we're closed.
Mm-hmm.
These things, I think, are just small bits and pieces of a larger plan, but people have to coordinate. They have to use the tools to communicate. They have to, you know, yeah, get together for these 2 hours. But I think instead of becoming a target for, like, angry truck guys, maybe you should spend those 2 hours coming up with something creative, a stunt, something that actually conveys a message, to do anything. But really, I think the notion should be ultimately that we are slowly moving towards a general strike. And then what I think that takes, an actual factual general strike, is provisioning. Because you have to be ready to make the sacrifice. Like, if you're not going to be working, if you're not going to be able to buy groceries because you don't have an income, you need to come up with alternatives. And I've just been thinking about it. I talked to you a little bit about this, and we're here now. And I'm just thinking, like, actions that spontaneously occur, people sort of ad hoc start doing things. I remember Occupy Wall Street, people are like setting up a library and setting up a tea and coffee and ways to support people that were camping out. Well, the time to do that is well in advance of your action. You need to be prepared to do something. And I think that provisioning, getting ready for that, should be top of the list. Because you can then slowly move towards gaining the amount of support that you'll need through unions, through various sectors of the economy. And as you slowly, one by one, flick off these light switches of our functioning society, you can begin to be you can have already been prepared for what it would look like for a long, sustained strike. And that's what a general strike is. You can't just spontaneously ask people to do that. But I honestly think, like, going to the movies and, like, all these students in school, like, what are you going to study for? Like, what job? What are you even doing there? Spending money? Like, it's kind of really bizarre to me that people think there will be something with all this plunder just right in front of their face. Like, they're cracking their thumbs at us. Like, they are doing this with glee. They think it's funny. And it's to, like, an absurdist extent. And, like, I don't want to be mad. I'm not mad. Like, I'm not angry about it. I don't think that's not, like, a really, like, sort of meaningful thing. Like you said at the outset of this, I am really profoundly disappointed, and I think that's it. I'm just really disappointed that that's where we ended up, and that now it really is a global trend, that it's taken taken on a real global thrust. People have seen America brand it and make it, quote, cool, and they're running with it. People are using it as a playbook to brand it and to use the tools of social media and whatever else they do, the messaging. And in that vein, you know, only the places that have recent memory of how these things end have turned a corner, like Hungary, like, you know, Brazil. There are places that have seen this level of corruption and said, I don't think so. We mm-hmm. beg to differ. So, I mean, I don't know how much we want to let play out as a society, but we're really, we're doing a disservice to generations that need to see action. And if you look at any of the major fights of the 20th century, in response to this kind of conservative right-wing movement, it's always been a fight. It's always been something that people have to make sacrifices for.
Right.
And I would say, please, provision, be ready. Well, get yourselves prepared to do something. Action is what it's going
to
take.
Yeah, and you know, showing up to demonstrations is action of a sort. But here's the thing. Most people don't even do that. And in fact, almost all young people don't do that. I know in some cities that's not the case, but out in the suburbs, it's almost all middle-aged or elderly people, and it's great that they're interested. It's great that they're showing up. They matter, but it's not enough. We need everybody who cares to be involved, and we need to fight the lies. We need to be able to actually, Kyle, you found something interesting today on C-SPAN. You watch C-SPAN every damn morning. I don't know how you do it.
Well, not today. I got a little bit frustrated. You want to get into this?
We have a couple of pieces here that I think you need to set up because
they have a
call in every morning, and it's always kind of lively and funny. But sometimes you're just struck by how dumb some people are. I mean that in as loving a way as I possibly can express it, but Jesus Christ, I mean, set the pieces up, please.
Right, so people are discussing the Iran conflict. They're getting ready for the election. And Mibi Gurgis is taking calls and fielded a couple calls and interspersed it with some segments pre-recorded from the weekend and other commentary, and then went back to sort of open form, which basically people can call in, talk about any of this as they want. So early on in the show, there was one caller
the caller's going to do that, but just what kind of, this is just a typical call that she's taking.
Yeah, and I think this person, well, I'll reserve my opinion. Go ahead, just play this call.
And here's Bobby in Gainesville, Florida, Democrat. Good morning, Bobby.
Yes, good morning. The last caller was delightful. her comment that Iran has not done anything to bother us, I guess she's neglecting to count the continuing threat of nuclear annihilation and the willful killing and the blocking of Hormuz Strait through the Houthis. rocket attacks. But hey, everything is Hakeem Jeffries' school of conflict here. And I'm really delighted to see that you're still playing the Democrat morning line talking points. You did get the facts this morning, I presume. So everybody have a good day. And just remember, a nuclear war would be preferable to having Trump. Okay.
She cut him off right there. Okay, I have some suspicion about this guy. He said Democrat instead of Democratic.
Okay.
And that, to me, is a real big red circle that this guy is not a Democrat, because Democrats don't use that language. Republicans, they all obey Trump, and Trump says that's the Democrat Party, not the Democratic Party, and they all do it.
Yes, he's a poisonous liar.
Okay.
He's a liar.
That's another way of saying
it. A poisonous, caustic liar.
Okay.
Okay?
Yes.
You don't get Democrats calling on the Republican line. They rarely do this on this show. But the Republicans do it all the time. They call on the Democratic line, and they feign to be a Democrat, and then they say all kinds of wild stuff. And this geezer, toxic, poisonous liar, is calling in from Gainesville saying he's a Democrat and says this balderdash. He's there's a couple things there. The lie about who he is, then the lie that C-SPAN gets talking points from the DNC, and they're speaking of that. That's an assault on the host and on the program itself, which everyone who watches knows that's not true. You know, they want to believe that. And then this discussion about people don't like Trump so much and they prefer nuclear. I don't know how people understand how nuclear is pronounced, but it's nuclear. Get it right. It's not nuclear. Okay? I just want to throw that in there.
Get our tires out of the mud. Yeah. Let's move on.
My mother taught me how to pronounce it, okay?
Why did she teach you how to pronounce that word?
Yeah, because it was something that bugged her, and she is not a Democrat.
Uh-huh.
So, frankly, among his, you know, silly lies, he's trying to troll, and basically, let's say, his like, feeble trolling to mischaracterize the point of view, and he's being sarcastic, right? So Mimi cuts him off and goes on. There's a couple segments and a couple more calls, and then they return to some of the phone calls.
And here's one of those phone calls, which I messed up. I'm sorry, I didn't have it turned up, so I'm going to start that again. Here is one of those phone calls.
We'll go right back to Alan, who's calling on the independent line, Stanley, Virginia. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, and thanks for taking my call. Hey, I'd like to say a couple things, and I'm not criticizing anybody. I just want to make a point or several points. I'd like to just refresh your memory. The war started in 79. President Trump didn't just go over and bomb him. This has been going on for 47 years, point one. Point two. From 20 to 24, inflation and everything went up 25%. We bring in 20-some illegals in our country by the Democrat Party who talks about affordability. I heard a caller earlier talk about he'd rather see a nuclear war than have Trump. I have never seen so much Trump, the deranged senator. You know, we're in this thing together. It's our country. And, you know, I don't like the higher gas prices either, but, you know, I'd pay $7 a gallon of gas now in order not to have a Democrat socialist. Look what we have. Look in New York.
So, Alan, I just want to clarify that caller was being sarcastic about a nuclear war is better than...
I couldn't say that on anyone. And, again, I know everyone has their opinions. They have a right to it, and I respect that. But, you know, what I hear and see this morning, and I like to point out, I watch C-SPAN about every morning, and I see your charts all week. And I wish sometime you'd put the same chart up for Trump as you did for Biden over that 4 years, because each president's
let this guy
ups and downs
fade off into the
and
distance.
While we're experiencing
well, there you go again, Democrat Party. But this guy, he actually believed what the other person was saying.
Now, E. as a proud independent,
uh-huh.
these are your people. This gentleman called on the independent line. Now, I'm disavowing the Democrat. Now,
wait, you have Republicans calling on all three lines?
These aren't independents. They're not Democrats. They're just liars. They're poisonous, toxic liars. He called in on the independent line. I'm sure he's an independent just to, like, I don't know, maybe fall asleep without, like, I don't know. Something helps him about being an independent in his daily life. I don't know. He can live with himself some of the time. Whatever that case, they are lying.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Then they're confusing their own ilk and getting them triggered into being more mad, and it's still directed at Democrats.
Amazing.
Does this make this people, if you are not from America, if you're not in America, if you don't listen to the discourse, or you don't, like, hang out in these crowds, please take note. This is the society that we're living in. These are the disingenuous liars that are calling in to just troll and joke around with glee. They like giggle at this. They have a good time. I want to say lewd things about what this rises
but
for
I
them.
I think these people really, well, not the first guy, but the second guy, I think he really believed
yeah.
that I was a Democrat because he's yeah. so programmed, so brainwashed that someone could say the craziest thing and it's obviously...
They can't pick up on sarcasm.
No.
He didn't even get that his own guy was trolling the Democrats. No, he thought it was a real Democrat saying something wild because... Oh, that's what Democrats do, apparently.
Right.
And then he got triggered.
Uh-huh.
And he's somehow an independent, which makes no sense to me, because everything he said was wildly dependent on the, towing the line of the GOP and the dear grand leader of this country. I mean, wow. What do you do with that? So they're...
You don't really believe he's independent,
getting
do you?
Even more angry. No, I don't. I mean, as I listen to it, just the way he said gay.
I've never heard gas pronounced like
it
that.
It sounds like gays.
It was like gays.
Well, I put gays in my car.
I'm not making fun of an accent, but I am kind of amazed. Wow, that's something.
So that's when I turned off C-SPAN today. I was like, this is moronic.
Uh-huh.
There is nothing here for me. I will go clean my garage.
This is a waste of my time. And yeah, it's facing us all the time. This is the election campaign as well. It's not just C-SPAN in the morning. It's CNN at night and everything else. We're brainwashed.
The thing with C-SPAN, E, is it's not commercial. It's
mm-hmm.
provided by the cable companies, and it's not interrupted by any of that.
Right.
It's supposed to be a forum where people can speak their mind and speak truly,
well,
have a
discussion,
and it's being poisoned.
And people,
there's nowhere else.
People need to speak their mind, and they're not doing it enough. I think people on the other side don't participate. Look, this guy, he got all the phrases right. You know, Trump derangement syndrome, that's in there. Russia, that's another one. They have all these things that are kind of just like signals to rally people. You know, let's go, Brandon. The people, the Democratic Party and people on the left, they need to do that more. Yeah, it might seem distasteful, but it's effective. Look at how it's working for them. All right, a lot of things to quickly get through. Okay, so we're talking about ugliness in other parts of the world. What happened in Portsmouth in the United Kingdom? This is scary. Basically, there were several hundred demonstrators that suddenly appeared in both Portsmouth and Dover, basically because there were immigrants that were being transported by authorities. And these hooded people with masks on, they just appeared on the streets. They occupied roundabouts. They caused a 4-mile-long queue of traffic. I mean, these are the kinds of things I'm saying we should be doing, you know, but they already know how to do that. And they caused all this chaos and fear. Why? Because they didn't want those immigrants to get into the country. Now, these weren't people running down the street, breaching the border or anything like that. These were people in custody. being transported to a facility for processing. And these demonstrators hate immigrants so much that they want that stopped. They want nobody let in. They don't want those people, those kind of people. And there's something truly scary about that. I'm sure there are immigration problems. Every country has them. But is that the way to deal with it? Is that the way to affect change, by instilling fear and targeting people based on where they're from or what they look like? It's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting. But it's reality. It's what's happening. And it's why England might be next. You might see the far right gain some footholds there as well. Serbia, you might have heard the news that the war criminal, Mladic, died recently in prison because he was a war criminal that was caught. And thank God for the international court. Well, thousands of people gathered in Belgrade in Serbia yesterday for the funeral of former Bosnian Serb general Radko Mladic, who died last week while serving a life sentence for genocide, war crimes, crimes against humanity. You know, not really trivial stuff. Crowds carrying Serbian flags and pictures of him wearing a traditional Serbian military cap gathered outside the church in a Belgrade suburb, where the head of the country's Orthodox Church presided over the service. Why? Why did they give him a hero's funeral in Belgrade? You know, he should have gotten Osama bin Laden send-off in the middle of the ocean. This is not somebody you celebrate. This was a stain on the history of that nation. And it was the worst conflict since World War II at the time, in the 1990s. He was found guilty by the United Nations International Criminal Tribunal. And, of course, that's a court that the country I'm in right now does not recognize, because apparently we prefer that kind of thing to justice. Okay, all right. What else? We have... there's not enough time to talk about this, but Canada today basically reacted to what the United States did to them with these ridiculous tariffs. And now they have imposed tit-for-tat tariffs. That sounds kind of funny, but it's not funny. It's hurting a lot of people. It's really bad. It's something we started, and I 100% support Canada.
I absolutely do. And this is so crucial that they stay united, and I'm already seeing cracks. I told you, I was saying this off the cuff earlier, but this might be something that's used against Carney. Carney might actually be challenged over this. If you listen, I was listening to CBC. There was some conservative commentator talking about it, and he starts out, I stand with all Canadians, and we're very, you know, unified and very da-da-da-da-da-da-da because of, you know, the position Canada is in with the U.S. right now to be, to diverge from this, this resistance to the American pressure would be anti-Canadian. So he has to preface it with that. But then he's talking about, I want to see the terms of the negotiation, which another official or someone that had been on the program was talking about, look, we signed an agreement to have these discussions. We're not allowed to talk about them per the NDA or whatever non-disclosure was agreed to set the terms of discussions. So he's asking them to break the terms of that, to tell average working Canadians what the terms of were, the financial impact of tariffs in kind. So when Canada levies its own tariffs, what is the impact on the average Canadian family going to be? And so the conservatives in their own country are trying to assail Carney, or otherwise, you know, chip away at his blockade, at his coalition, let's say, of all Canadians,
right,
to stand up and resist the pressure from the U.S. and, yeah, provision and resist and be prepared for, you know, not having certain goods on the shelf and resisting the pressure. But these fools in their own government want to try to create cracks, cut fissures, and maybe upend the government there. Why? So they can turn Canada into a conservative far-right haven.
Where
do you remember the trucks going to government in Canada? I mean, come on.
Where do you think they learned this? Seriously.
From us. I'm telling you, we branded
it. They learned it by watching us.
Well, yeah. I mean,
They did.
I'm just saying they seem really strong right now, but it's tonight, not impossible.
Tonight, and the people in America don't get to benefit from this, but tonight is the premiere of several hit shows like Son of a Critch, North of North, and this hour has 22 minutes. And the latter is the news magazine half-hour parody show. They should use that. I learned it from watching you. That's a good sketch. If that winds up in there, I'll be very happy.
Yeah, but sketch comedy is not going to solve all of this. I'm welcoming all the Saturday night shows. I'm happy it's coming back. All the
it's not going to solve
comedy
anything.
Comedy and the commentary. It's going to be great. But this is a serious problem. Mm-hmm. We have a systemic global problem where we're being divided. But from within, from outside.
I just say that Canada, I don't think, is going to fall for that. There are people, there are politicians that are going down that road tentatively. I think they're quickly going to be corrected. They're going to learn a valuable lesson. I know there are some people in Alberta who want to secede. They're going to have some kind of a vote on a referendum or something. And I don't expect that to go anywhere because people realize that they have to unite against the common enemy, which unfortunately right now is us. And Canada, we're so sorry. tell us what you'd like us to do, and we'll do it. We're trying to come up with ideas ourselves, but this will not stand.
You have to prepare people to unite, though. I'm telling you, if it's going to mean a sacrifice, you got to backfill. You got to be ready. Like, you have to communicate what the pain is going to be, which is kind of what that conservative politician's point is. What will be the impact of sustained tariffs returned in kind? Fine. But, like, making it something that you assail your leadership over isn't necessarily, I think, a fantastic plan in this particular operating environment. But it should be coming from Carney. What are we going to do? How are we going to keep this up? What are we doing with our other multilateral discussions around the world to make sure that this is not as painful as we think it might be?
I would respond respectfully to the conservative gentleman idiot what would it look like if we didn't do this?
Absolutely.
That is your answer right there.
Yeah.
Because they have to respond. And, in fact, this is how it works with bullies. And this is what I've been trying to say for so many years now. You have to respond to a bully in terms they understand. And nobody seems to have the guts to do that with Trump. Finally, we have someone, Carney, and what's his name? The Premier of Ontario.
Ford.
He's conservative. He's everything I don't like, but I like him because he stands up for what he believes in, and he doesn't take any crap from a bully.
Yeah.
And that's what you need to do. Where are those people in this country? And I'm not talking about, you know, Schumer writing up his nasty letters or just this meek, mild opposition. I'm talking about, like I said before, getting in their faces, being loud, being obnoxious, being inconvenient, and just making sure they know you are there and you're not going anywhere. And if you do go somewhere, there are a million more to replace you. That is how we win.
Yeah, state by state, the Democrats need to be pressuring other Republicans or other states, Republicans, conservative neighbors, that this stuff will impact their state-to-state relations. They need to be putting the pressure on, like, exponentially, so that these conservatives speak in support of the opposition, or in the case of Canada, in support of the leadership, as Ford is doing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to try to disintegrate in a moment where you need unity across political persuasions, it's the antithesis of a solution. It's wrong. And, you gotta correct this. People have to speak in support of what's right, of what is, you know, of what is righteous, not the right, not the far right. That is not the answer.
All right. Now, one more major story that happened today, really, is the UK basically taking action against Israel. Finally, it's so overdue. Ed Miliband, he's the Secretary of State of the UK, has announced what he has described as a broad reset of the UK's relations with Israel today, promising the government will take a more active approach in supporting the Palestinian cause. Quite a turn for a government where being part of a group called Free Palestine could get you thrown in jail. In an intervention that is expected to draw fierce criticism from, guess who, the U.S. and, of course, Israel, the Foreign Secretary will impose a U.K. ban on the trade in goods and some services from illegal Israeli settlements. Okay, so basically, you have illegal Israeli settlements. We keep hearing about them. They've been going on for decades. And basically what has been happening now, ever since October 7th, in the West Bank, is these settlers are basically acting as terrorists and driving Palestinians from their land, killing Palestinians with impunity, being supported by the Israeli army and local police forces, and have not been answered, not had to answer to anybody. It's disgusting. It is absolutely disgusting. And finally, we have countries, this is the UK, this is Canada, this is France, taking a stand and saying, we are not, I didn't know you could trade with settlements. I don't know what comes out of there.
Other than hatred.
They sell hatred, a lot of hatred.
Virgin Mobile sends?
But seriously, this is something worth noting. It is the kind of step that governments should be taking all around the world, but it's got to go further than that. All of these settlements have to be torn down. They are all illegal. Now, I know, here we go again, they do not recognize the international court. If you don't recognize courts of law, you're doing something wrong. You know, you can't just say the whole world's against us. It's not going to last forever, because at some point people are going to realize that you're evil, you're doing something horrible, and you must be stopped, and then you become the enemy. It's getting to that point, and I sure don't want to see that, but you can't continue like this. You can't basically terrorize innocent people unless you really believe that women and children and babies are the enemy somehow. It's a sickness. I guess keep seeing amplified in our media. It's really terrifying to see this happen. Now, the settlers must be treated in the same way that Hamas is, i.e. disarm and leave this place that is not yours. Stop causing terror. Every day, people are killed in, now it's Lebanon, it's Palestinian territories. Every day. If that were to happen in the other direction, we'd be calling it a terrorist act every day. How is this not a terrorist act when innocent people just wake up dead? You know, it's nuts that we simply turn a blind eye to this and even support it. It's got to stop. This has got nothing to do with anti-Semitism. This has got nothing to do with supporting the state of Israel or not supporting the state of Israel. I support the state of Israel. I don't support this state of Israel. And anti-Semitism, it's all over, as Kyle said earlier. It's everywhere. But it's not the same thing as opposing this. I wish we had more time to talk about this. We are kind of out of time now. But like I said, there's so much going on in the world. It's kind of a messed up place right now. You can make a difference just by paying attention, but also by talking.
Yeah, it sure as hell is laundered by anti-Semitism.
Well, we'll have to leave it at that. Write to us, otw@2600.com. If you were ever lucky enough to have an 8-track player, you got to hear this song that nobody else, or this version of the song that no one else got to hear until it was released on various collections in the future. We'll see you next week. Good night.
If you didn't care, what happened to me? And I didn't care for you. We would zigzag our way through the bottom and pain, occasionally glancing up through the rain, wondering which of the bugger's to blame.
and watching for pigs on the wing. From pigs on the wing.